the midweek drive, zooming into the future and energized by the now.
Well, April the 20th has actually dawned, and the midweek drive are on location once again in a somewhat blustery and breezy Scarborough. Of course, why are we in Scarborough? It's Sci-Fi Scarborough 2024, and experiencing Scarborough, not just Sci-Fi Scarborough, but Scarborough for the first time, we have Anna Koshkinel. How are you, Anna?
I'm good, Alex. Slightly cold, but I'm good.
Well, you know, it's all part and parcel of the rich tapestry. I mean, we've got Daleks to the right of us, skulls to the left, the North Sea blowing in the background there. We've already got people setting up in these early moments. Steve Dickinson is looking as ever like a swan, calm under all these pressure. He's sort of went off to another direction. He's acknowledged that we're here. Marin Hobson also making her debut. The first time also you've been in Scarborough.
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you, Alex, and I'm glad to be back up north.
Yeah, I mean, it does sort of do one's sort of sense of proportionality good to actually be up here. Of course, both Marin and Anna had a nightmarish journey here. I blame the chauffeur. I don't know what was happening there. He was going around roundabouts all over the place. But that's par for the course. What are you most looking forward to today, Anna?
To be honest, I am most looking forward to meet the people that are building those robots and show me how to use them, if I can use them. And I'm happy I was greeted by that robot at the entrance and I was able to wave at him. Maybe I'm going to get to speak to him later.
Anna is not just referring to any robot there, she's referring to R2-D2. Yes, R2-D2, legendary part of course, C-3PO and R2-D2 in the Star Wars universe. Cannot believe that hasn't actually communicated itself over to Romania, but never mind. Marin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to see if anyone's like dressed up in costumes and having fun, see the excitement of it all.
You will not be disappointed in that. We will possibly be having a word with Steve Dickinson. Well, we will be having a word with Steve Dickinson, but we may actually go and start off our little audio promenade with some of the folk who are indeed setting things up as we speak and get a little bit of flavour of what this particular edition of Sci-Fi Scarborough is going to bring to culture in the Western world. Our first interviewee is with us, and it's not Steve Dickinson for a change, because the honour of being the first interviewee for the Midweek Drive on location is indeed the fabulous Jay Manciano. How are you, Jay?
I'm good, thank you very much. How are you?
Well, great to connect with your good self. And I've got to say, looking at the descriptor, really impressed with your work. I mean, this is outstanding material you've actually got here. Just talk us through your speciality. And obviously, there's a lot of Star Wars here.
Yes, so I do Star Wars art for Topps, which is all officially licensed by Lucasfilm. I've done them for about 8 years now, and I work in a range of mediums. I kind of grew from coloured pencil and worked my way through, and now I'm an oil painter. So that's pretty much what I do on a small scale and on a large scale as well now.
We were featuring Gary Girani recently, who used to be in charge of the US trading card division, doing a whole range of things. He's 50 years he spent with that, but again, very high praise with respect to Topps. Let's open it up. Marin, any questions for yourself?
So do you do these designs yourself?
I do, yes. Yes. They're all based on reference images from across the Star Wars universe and other franchises. I do The Walking Dead, House of the Dragon, The Last of Us, any kind of pop culture franchise, really.
Anna?
I was actually wondering, how long does it usually take you to create a piece like this, for example, with multiple colors that are bright rather than just blue, white or black?
So for all my oil paintings, there's a bit of a process to it. So I start with a sketch, and then I do what's called an underpainting, which is the, you can see on this one, which is what I'll be painting today, where it's all done in kind of earth tones, so burnt umbers and things like that. That usually takes around 3 or 4 hours just for the underpainting. And then once I go into the colours, then that can take anywhere, depending on the size and complexity of the piece, it can take anywhere from 8 to 40 hours, depending.
And will you be painting this one today live?
I'm going to try to. Yeah. Usually when I... last year I did a painting and I managed to take it to 4 different conventions and still didn't get it finished. So it just depends on how busy it is, how many people you end up interacting with, and that kind of thing.
This is Anna's first ever convention, likewise Marin. Anna originally from Bucharest, Marin from Huddersfield, equally as exotic, really, in many ways, as Tatooine. What advice would you give these fine reporters on their first ever science fiction convention?
have fun, talk to absolutely everyone, find out about people's different franchises that they love. Don't be afraid to talk about the things that you love as well. If you've got a specific pop culture thing that you enjoy most, talk to people about it. There'll be everyone here.
And I have to ask the question, do you have a favourite? I mean, I'm looking at Baby Yoda as obviously a classic there. What's not to love about Baby Yoda? But anything from your own point of view which you think, yeah, this is the one that I really am impressed with?
So I love painting Ahsoka from the animated series and from the live action as well, but Baby Yoda.
It's just clearly there. Well, we have Baby Spike, which we'll ask you to pose within a few seconds. Can we have a name check for your colleague here who gratefully has allowed you to do this interview whilst he's doing all the hard work of setting up the easel and such like?
Yeah, so I'm Jay Manchand, and that is Chris Beach.
There we are. Hi, Chris. Keep up the good work. We'll catch you with you later. And how do people actually follow you, Jay, online? Are you on most of the socials?
Yes, you can find me everywhere. Just search Jay Manchand Art. You'll find it. Usually on Instagram is where I spend most of my time.
And have you been on to Sci-Fi Scarborough before?
I have once. Pre-COVID, quite a long time ago. It was, I think, 2019.
We might have crossed paths there. We were here last year and we've done about 7, I think, of the 10 that they've actually had so far. So obviously we like to geek beside the seaside.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've been back, but yeah, it's great to be here.
Have you travelled far to get here?
From Norfolk, so about 4.5 hours.
That's longer than our journey from Lincoln, but there you are.
I was just a passenger. It wasn't too bad for me.
Well, we've started our audio promenade. We've spoken, obviously, to one of the ace artists here. And Anna, you were particularly drawn to this particular stand.
Yes, it just looks amazing. You have everything from Supernatural to Star Wars and everything. What's your favourite figurine or anything that you have here? And also, do you have anything with Harry Potter?
You can tell she's very excited, and we are about to speak to the awesome person that is
Graham Morley.
Graham, clearly you've risen to Anna's challenge by bringing up the Harry Potter routine. Just talk us through what magical things you got here.
Okay, well, it actually started in the first lockdown. We just decorated our bathroom and we actually went for a Harry Potter theme, so that's where it all started. And then we just wanted to make sure we were helping people that were struggling, so tried to keep everything as low as possible cost-wise. And then we just expanded because people said, could you do Disney? Could you do Star Wars? And so on. So now we've got like the Doctor Who's, we've got some Pokemon. And if it's something's not here, we love a challenge.
Exactly. Marion, I'm sure you can provide a challenge. Any thoughts or questions for yourself?
Yes. So please can you explain what is exactly in these colourful bottles?
So it's bubble baths or shower gels. We've got a few bath salts and bath powders as well. So they smell amazing, but a lot of people tell us they're just going to use it for display anyway.
So do each have individual smells for their character, which is on top of the bottle?
We do try to match it up as best as possible, yes.
Sounds wonderful. I've just actually managed to catch Steve Dickinson's eye, actually. But before we actually sort of get it sorted out on that basis, just a quickie, how can people actually get in touch with your good self online?
We're actually on Facebook. So it is facebook.com/ Morley's Mystical Magic.
It had to be Morley's Mystical Magic. No relation to Trevor Morley or Tony Morley, the former Burnley footballers.
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Just wanted to clarify that. Or Robert Morley, of course, the famed actor. Anyway.
Well, Robert Morley is my father, but not that one.
There you go. The awesome soul, musician, general entrepreneur, general all-round cafe soul, Nottingham Forest supporter, generally fine soul, basically. Superhero, Steve Dickinson is with us. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Alex. You flatter me with that intro.
It's only right. And again, just soaking up the atmosphere here. We're taken by, obviously, Morley's mystical magic there. And as you can see, Anna is clearly sort of moved by the new mascots we've got here.
Yeah, I mean, we were expecting maybe Danny John-Jules to tip up again like he does on a normal basis. But we found a black cat in here this morning and we thought, it's the Holy Mother. from the beginnings of Red Dwarf. So it's a lovely pussycat here today, which is really nice to see, yes.
And a cat with cerebral palsy as well, which we'll find out. So it is, it's wonderful. Introduce you formally to Marin, who made the journey with me and Anna today from Lincoln up to the wilds of Scarborough. I say the wilds of Scarborough. Marin actually feels like she's back home because she's back in Yorkshire.
Yes, I am, yeah, back up north. So what are you most excited about today?
Ooh, I'm most excited about, I think it's the... It's the bit where we reopen the doors, the official opening. We've got the Deputy Mayor here today, Janet Jefferson. We have the Town Crier here, and they do a big intro, and we get all the costuming groups down, and we get them outside with them, and we do a big group photo, and we open the event. Obviously, we've changed the opening hours this year, and we're opening at 11 a.m. instead of 10 a.m. So, you know, I think there'll be a bit more of a buzz going on early doors. You know, I think 10 a.m. was a bit too early for people for the past 10 years.
There is a buzz, of course, that's going around, and we're already sensing that. We've done a few interviews already with respect to some of the tremendously talented artists you've got here. Jay Manchando, classic sort of superb material.
Yeah, Jay's an absolute legend. I mean, all the artists we have here, you know, even down to the small press artists are absolutely amazing. I've stood in front of Carolyn Edwards' setup, and her artwork's absolutely stunning. I've got my own a couple of prints that I need to put up in my loft room, so I'll be paying her a visit at some point. But yeah, the whole event, the setup's gone really well over the past 2 days, even with the mayhem of having Tom Allen in the Grand Hall last night and not being able to set up till 3:30 this morning. So we were at 3:30, so 3 hours sleep we've had, but I feel great.
We talk about that. I mean, Anna, who would join us in a few seconds here, is also one for 2 or 3 hours sleep. We're just saying, Anna, Steve's had about 2 or 3 hours sleep in setting this up, so you kind of match that, don't you?
Yes, I actually slept for 2 hours and 20 something minutes today.
The excitement of meeting you, Steve.
Listen, mate, I don't think it is, but yeah, fair enough. Yeah, yeah, 3 hours was enough, but yeah, we'll see how I last the afternoon.
Anna, you're obviously taken with Morley there in more than way, one way. Any questions for Steve Dickinson, the guru, the co-creator of this fabulous event?
Yes, I was actually wondering, what's your strategy for today to be able to make sure everything is in place and you talk to everyone?
What's the strategy? Steve?
The strategy has developed over the years, and it went from me trying to do everything and not getting certain things done to delegating to the rest of the team, because they were like, please let us help, you know, because it's not like a precious thing. It's just like, I just don't want to bother people, you know, by giving them too much to do. But they're like, give me a job. So I have this amazing core team around me of 4 of us, and then there's an extended team of about 20 or 30 of us that run the event, and I literally couldn't do it without, if one of them was missing, it would all start to come apart, you know. So this is, you know, every year everyone comes together like one big family, and that's the strategy. We come and deliver every year. Everyone knows what they're doing, so we don't have a problem. So it gets to the point now where I can do stuff like this, interviews. I can walk around, talk to people, make sure people are okay, get them extra tablecloths if they need it, whatever they need before we open doors. So yeah,
that's actually really good, because obviously I know you've been doing it for years. And my last question would be, will you be in the Grand Hall all day, or will you be just floating around? And
will you just float around and actually sort of be ubiquitous like the Holy Spirit,
also,
basically?
Are you going to dress up?
That's a really good question. So I'll probably, if I have some more coffee, there'll be a lot of floating around going on. I'm already getting there now. I've had like 4 coffees this morning, and the coffee in the green room is horribly strong, because it has to be. So some people have it and go, what the, you know, and then their eyes pop out.
But I work with Fraser Hines, isn't it, really?
I mean, I do have a costume with me. You know, I have my regular sci-fi Scarborough costume, which I'll be getting changed before we open. Which is just a waistcoat and a certain t-shirt. But yeah, I have brought something with me that I want to put on, because I've always been quite jealous of people who are in costume who cover their faces, because you don't know who they are. So they'll walk past me and they'll say, oh, hi, or not, and I'll be like, I don't know, you know. It's like, I'll say, oh, hi, and then I'll see them later and they'll go, it was me. Which one?
Which me?
You know, which one were you? You know, it's just like, so I've brought my own down, and it's like, it's this character from Star Wars that I'm incredibly obsessed with.
Not Baby Yoda again, Steve.
No, not Grogu. No, it's a bit too small. It won't work But so yeah, he's a bounty hunter, but he's not one of the better known ones.
Well, speaking of course of Star Wars, you have some wonderful connections with Star Wars with the other guests, some of whom we may be fortunate enough to have a few words with on this particular audio postcard.
Absolutely, yeah. You must speak to like Gary Kagan and his lovely wife Lisa Ross. Gary, big Starfighter in Star Wars, Luke's best friend, and was Red 3, I believe, was his X-Wing.
Biggs Light. Biggs, indeed.
Biggs Light, Dark Lighter, Dark Light. Yeah, legend. And then we've got Paul Blake.
Greedo.
Greedo, yeah. So you can ask him who shot first. Always the question.
I'm sure he's never actually heard that one before.
He has, but obviously he's going to say he did, and then Harrison Ford says he did. So we need to get those two together and slug it out. Maybe next year here.
I'm surprised Harrison hasn't exactly. I mean, this is the thing. Listen, the line is out there. Harrison Ford, you're listening to the Midweek Drive on location, Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio. The challenge is there. Steve has laid it down.
Yeah, absolutely, Harrison. The door's always open for you, mate. You know, it's like don't be shy. I know you love going to conventions. So yeah, and we've also got the wonderful Mike Quinn, who played Nia Nunn, Lando's co-pilot in Return of the Jedi and the sequel trilogy. He's replaced Angus McInnes, who had to drop out due to ill health. But great to have Mike here. We've always wanted to have him as a guest, and he's here now. And he came down yesterday, and he loved it. He thought it was great. And he hadn't even seen the rest of it yet. So,
Fraser Hines, of course, Wendy Padbury, presumably doing their bit for Jamie and Zoe.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you've got a pair of classic companions there from the Troughton era. And then you've got
Mr. Troughton himself.
Mr. Troughton's son, Michael, here, who played Smithy in the recent Doctor Who. And now, oh God, here comes Dalek 2-0.
Dalek 2-0s have actually started. We can hear this. I can see the tension.
You stop, isn't it? Because he's so noisy and rude. And yes, he's chaotic, but I love him. Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be a really cool day. We've got a great guest lineup, some great artists, and obviously all these exhibitors and traders are all fantastic. You know.
Again, awesome doesn't begin to actually do justice to what you've put together, and we're privileged actually to have been. I was thinking this is probably about our sixth or seventh of the 10 years that you've actually been operating.
Yeah, you've been with us a while, you know, and you've been good, you know, giving us lots of, you know, plugs and interviews and on the run-up to it, you know, and we really appreciate that, so thank you, yeah.
Hey, so it's a mutually supportive scenario here, and as I say, you have a Romanian, you have a citizen of Huddersfield, you might have an international singing star, Chloe Rose, joining us as well from Grimsby. So, I mean, what more can we actually bring to the whole thing? Graham Harper would have loved to have come, but sadly he couldn't make it. He's got other things. I was going to surprise Fraser with Graham, but so it goes.
That would have been great, wouldn't it? Yeah, but yeah, it'd be great if Chloe pops down. I'd listen to all her material and give her a follow on Insta, and the songs are lovely. Yeah, they're really beautiful. So yeah, it'd be great to meet her in person.
I think she's on her way, and we did say don't panic, you don't have to be hot of the vanguard. If you get here about 10:30 or 11, all will be well.
Fabulous, that'd be great. Yeah, no, but thanks for coming, guys. I really appreciate it. I know it's a long way, but yeah, we really do appreciate
it. The driving that obviously sort of is terrifying for the likes of Anna and on the wrong side of the road, you see. I mean, yeah, it's got a bit.
I just said that it's so unnatural to drive on the left side compared to the right side, and whenever I feel like I got it, I know where to turn. It's just the other way around.
Tried to grab the wheel off my on several occasions.
I'm the same. When I go abroad, I won't drive unless it's driving on the left. You know, like Malta.
Yeah.
You know, places
Malta's
like
Malta's got
that.
It right, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, yeah, I'll find them. But if it's on the other side of the road, no chance, right? Because I don't trust myself. One lapse in concentration.
You don't.
I'm going the wrong way around the roundabout.
Just like that.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, one little lapse. Yeah, it just happens like that, you know. So it's like, yeah, when I'm on a holiday, I want to relax. I don't want to be driving on the wrong side of the road. It's terrifying. So, yeah.
Steve, we'll catch up later. All big well with the costume of various other bits and pieces. But for now, congratulations. I know it's going to be another fantastic event.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much.
Unacceptable!
Everywhere. Everywhere. And pointing at people and me especially.
Unacceptable! Unacceptable! She made me!
You know, there, Steve, we've just stopped off briefly by a wonderful character who's now behind bars. There we actually have the true message that goes from the Siren Radio staff and all the listeners to Siren Radio to the management of the University of Lincoln, that handing back the Ofcom licence for Siren Radio
is
unacceptable.
There you are. And who is this person who would say you can't hand back a licence? It's
unacceptable.
Who's behind bars?
Gentlemen.
Wow. Behind bars, obviously.
Yeah, this is Lemon Grab. I didn't even know about this character. I'm like, who is this guy all weekend walking around shouting and pointing at people? And he drove everyone up the wall. But I had sort of admiration for him because I thought he's so brave because someone is going to deck him in a minute. And it could be me, it could be anyone, because there's a lot of people here with short fuses, they're tired, etc. And then when I realised who it was, and it's someone I knew really well, and he'd come the year before as the Betamax Bandit from Mighty Boosh, because Mike Fielding was here from the Mighty Boosh. And I realised, I was like, oh, not you. So anyway, I wanted Lemon Grab to live on and be here, but in a different way. And I thought, what better way than to put him in jail?
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law built this, done a great job. The guy who was in it was actually downstairs one day while he was there, so he recorded his voice, made the samples, built this, absolute contraption, an unacceptable contraption, and here he is. And there'll be some people who'll love this. They will play with it all weekend.
They'll spend the whole thing because it's quite happily.
I know.
Well, clearly, Anna, your first ever science fiction convention, and you've already managed to deal with a pussycat, an unacceptable lemon head, Steve Dickinson, and, of course, the joys of Harry Potter, which is there.
I'm so excited. I have no words. I think I'll just live here.
There we are. It's an important thing, and we're delighted now to be able to speak to
Lee Threadgold.
That's why you have Threadgold upon your Ghostbusters outfit.
That is indeed, yes.
So, Lee, why is it that you weren't in the latest Ghostbusters movie, or was it just a case of they just felt, no, we're just not going to do it? Or did you like it?
I did enjoy the latest one very much indeed. I think it's great that it's got a new generation of cast members. I think it's great it's got a new generation of viewers as well. I mean, I remember watching it from when I was 12 years old. It was one of those things. It was on at the cinema for months and months. It was at the top of the cinema charts, and I remember going several times to see it. I've always been a fan, and sometimes I'm out and about with the old trusty proton pack.
You see the actual proton pack, a snip, £800 English pounds.
Yes, that's right, which is just barely what it costs for all the parts, in fact. Yeah. They do take quite a lot of making.
For goodness sake, don't cross those beams, otherwise who knows what could happen.
Absolutely, yeah, you've got to be a little bit careful with the old beams, particularly when you're on a nice windy day like this in Scarborough.
Yeah. Marin?
Can you explain about what you've got displayed today?
Yeah, so today I'm a local artist. I make custom build Lego models. It's one of the things I do. I try to make things that aren't in the standard Lego range, but inspired either by movies or by classic television or by classic ranges of the Lego. So, for instance, they all Lego ranges from the 70s and 80s of the space. Things from manga, such as Battle of the Planets, Ghost in the Shell, Laputa, Akira. And then things from classic sci-fi television, such as Space 1999, Star Trek, and Doctor Who, of course. Can't do sci-fi Scarb without a bit of Doctor Who in there.
It's interesting, looking at the respective sizes here, we have a giant K9 with teeny tiny Daleks, a giant Eagle transporter with a teeny tiny Enterprise. It's all good, and I think, is that a Klingon ship that we've actually got there? Or have we?
Yes, we have got it. It's a Star Trek duo, so yes, there is a Klingon bird of prey and the Enterprise, of course.
Kapla, as any Klingonese listeners might sort of want to say. Anna?
I was wondering, I see you have here a Lego mystery bag. Can you give us a clue what's inside?
So in the mystery bags, it's a selection of random parts, but in every single bag there is at least one pair of wings, there's enough wheels to make vehicles, and there's one randomly selected minifigure. And each bag weighs, it's about half a kilo, so you've got plenty of Lego in there for the price.
That sounds fun.
And this seems a moot question to ask, but Meccano or Lego?
Always Lego. Always Lego.
Is it because of the Danish aspect, or is it just a case of you've always been a Lego soul?
I've always been a Lego soul since I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. I do enjoy Meccano very much as well. I do certainly like tinkering in the workshop as part of my day job with nuts and bolts and all sorts of things like that as well. But as far as leisure and spending time and de-stressing and just being creative in your own time, Lego is the way forward.
This is the 10th Sci-Fi Scarborough, of course. Have you been here before?
Yes, this is my third year exhibiting here at Sci-Fi Scarborough, and it's always a great event. Loads of really lovely, enthusiastic people around.
And obviously conventions go on throughout the year. Any others in mind? I mean, will you be appearing at the World Science Fiction Convention in Glasgow later on?
Unfortunately not, no, but you never know. At some point in the future, I might get further afield.
And how do people actually contact you, Mr. Threadgold, via that wonderful thing called the World Wide Web?
So I normally run a theatre company, is my main job. This is just part of my personal collection. But I run a theatre company called Animated Objects, which is Animated Objects animatedobjects.org.
Which, who knows, we may well be in contact with to talk about your work with respect to animated objects. Is that just a polite way of phrasing, of dealing with actors that just don't move much? Or is it more than that?
No, I specialise in making gigantic puppets, huge cardboard sculptures. I currently have the world record for the largest cardboard sculpture in the entire world, which is a Trojan horse, which is just over 7.5 metres tall and 13 metres long.
That's the kind of quality you get at Sci-Fi Scarborough, giant Trojan horses.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
It's been a great time connecting with yourself. We may return later on in the day to see how it's going. I'm sure it'll be fantastic, but have a fantastic Sci-Fi Scarborough.
Lovely, and yourselves. Thank you very much.
Well, we're gradually continuing to soak up the atmosphere here at Sci-Fi Scarborough, and we've just stopped by our stand, which is Genuine Movie Props and Cinematic Rarities. Hashtag Movie Mania Online. Anna, you're particularly drawn to these. Why?
I think it's an interesting concept, your little piece of Hollywood, where you can get fully authenticated miniature displays with genuine pieces of film sets, especially from Harry Potter. We have here the Avengers, Spider-Man, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I think it's just great.
Marin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love this. The display includes also like a prop Joker dollar bill from The Dark Knight and also something from The Truman Show. It's like amazing to see how these are actually on the film set.
Free Truman badge. It does actually sort of raise that magical dream scenario to the fore here. Now that we're waiting to settle into the whole system, obviously we're still a little bit of time to go before the general public start emerging. So lots of stands still being set up. What are your thoughts so far, Marin?
I think it's great. There's so much to offer and there's so much different people there selling their wares and everything. It's great.
Good. Well, clearly it's a delight unprecedented to be able to welcome a former Stone Tapes aficionado, a midweek driver, a big friend of Graham Harper, of course. It's the awesome Fraser Hines. How are you, Fraser?
You're great, thank you. Very bracing outside and... looking forward to the rest of the day.
Is this your first time at Sci-Fi Scarborough?
It is. Yeah, I've been to Scarborough before, but this is the first time here, though. Yeah.
So geeking beside the seaside comes into full force. And, of course, you're neatly sitting right next to the equally awesome Wendy Padbury.
Oh,
yes. We may also grab a few words with her from that point of view. I mean, it's wonderful. Wendy, good to see you.
Hello. And nice to see you.
Excellent. We didn't meet a long, long time ago, but that was a different generation, a different time, etc. Actually, Fraser, we'll come to you first from this point of view, because this partnership, which is legendary, in fact, I only feel if only you'd been in Freewheelers with Wendy, it would have been a whole new world.
It would have been, yes. That was Chris Chittell instead, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, just talk us through this wonderful sort of scenario. What are you expecting from today?
Hopefully people turn up and get an autograph and say a few words, and that's it.
Exactly, you know. Not just that, Jamie McCrimmon, obviously Joe Sugden, legend of so many. I'm going to hand over to our team here. Basically, Marin, any questions?
What are you most excited about today? Is there any particular bit that you're excited about?
We've got a brand new photograph from the Tales in the TARDIS that Wendy and I did last September, the first time we were together for how many years? Well, quite a few years.
Let's not go into detail.
We're dealing with time. Time is fluid.
Absolutely.
Einstein said the most persistent thing about time is that past, present and future occur simultaneously. It's just an illusion. Mm-hmm. So we're just going on that basis.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely an illusion. Working with Fraser was an illusion.
Is he indeed real or a hologram?
Well, I'm not sure. I'll let you know when I find out.
A hologram, I think you'd say. You'd say hologram.
Anna.
I was actually wondering, since it's your first time here, if you're going to walk around and see what people have on their stands. And I was also wondering, will it be weird to see people having pictures with yourself posted on their stands?
What I normally do at conventions, if there's a lull, I do like to walk around the stands, and sometimes I come back with a scarf or something that I haven't seen before. Where are you from?
Romania.
Oh, Romania. All right, yeah.
I've got to ask the question, does Doctor Who translate to Romanian?
Yes.
She says guardedly.
All right. Oh. he never met any vampires, though, did he?
You've met one now.
Oh! Oh, well, thanks for the memory.
Yeah. He's still got it.
Oh, no. He needs to... Yeah, no. It's too soon for all that.
Exactly. 11:45. That's
when... All day to get through, yeah.
Wendy, what about yourself? Sci-Fi Scarborough, have you been here before?
Not to Sci-Fi Scarborough, but yes to Scarborough.
And your
quite
thought,
a few times, actually.
I mean, we were just saying, actually, in the initial thing, that really, like a lot of Victorian resorts, Blackpool, of course, Brighton, dare I even say Skegness, this is one of those areas that actually events like Sci-Fi Scarborough can really help drive the tourist industry?
Yes, I'm sure it can. I mean, it is extraordinary how Doctor Who and conventions invigorate people's weekends, actually. We're always amazed when we come to somewhere like
Scarborough. Is this the first one?
This is the 10th.
Oh, the 10th.
We've never been before. Something you said, I imagine. No.
Not at all. I've been pushing very... In fact, I've been actively trying to get Sam Stone and David J. Howe to come along to this as well, basically. So they came very close.
They would love to be here.
Yeah. So the Sci-Fi Scarborough is a good event. I was listening to both of you actually last night on the BBC scenario, the script, and the talking through the invasion and Cybermen, etc. And there is a certain resonance that those shows, 60-odd years later, they still connect.
Oh, they definitely do. They were... I think it's not right to say that young people now don't relate to those old stories, because they were really good stories. We had really good stories, and fine, it was black and white, and fine, it was maybe a bit wobbly at times, although, you know, so be it. I still think that our stories stand up really, really well.
And I think we were very fortunate that we had sets to work in. Nowadays, it's all green screen. So you walk in and you wouldn't see all these balconies. It'd be all green screen. And the director, so there's up there, Fraser's balcony, and over there, there's a thing. But we actually had proper sets, which I think helped a hell of a lot.
I still think the Mind Robber is one of my personal favourites, but that's another thing entirely. Not because, obviously, Fraser, you had the flu and actually sort of had to be replaced midway through.
That's my favourite story.
Oh, yes, well said.
I was actually wondering, because you have quite an extensive fandom, and there are also a lot of young people, and they're doing events where they like to meet and dress up as your characters. What do you think about them, and what do you think that they're still doing it now? Pretty young people, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
Cosplayers Jamie and Zoe.
And younger, too. We meet younger people, and so that's what I mean when I say it's not true that young people don't relate or can't relate to the old stories. And I love seeing a Zoe costume. Normally they look much better than I ever did in them, which is always a bit of a worry.
No. Silver jumpsuit is legendary.
Yes. It's lovely. And you see people in kilts all the time.
Yeah, there's lots of James. And I love it when I see a second Doctor with Patrick. I think, that's good, because you often think Patrick was cool. Because you wouldn't dress as somebody who was uncool, unless it was a monster, I suppose. You know, that means you like that person.
Enemy of the world, we won't talk about,
really. Oh, that's very... He was excellent in that, wasn't he?
Oh, I hate to say it, but there's some really rather imposing Daleks heading our way.
It's just part of the sci-fi scenario. Just expect the unexpected. All will be well. And I'm sure that if we haven't got Patrick Troughton, at least we've got Michael Troughton with us. That'd be sort of...
How lovely. Yes.
And is it true, Fraser, you do manage to capture for Big Finish the essence of Patrick Troughton's Doctor?
I did until Michael took over. Because...
Yes, it's always terrifying when we have a genuine Dalek. Yeah. And, of course...
I used to say to the producer, if Patrick was here, would you... But we're not paying you to do Patrick's voice. So I do Jamie's voice and got paid. I do Patrick's voice to keep his name alive. And then Michael took over. I thought, that's good. It's a nice relief for me.
And Wendy, audio plays, etc., Big Finish, thank the Lord for them, etc. I wonder... A question I'm sure you've been asked many times: did you ever sort of think if you could look ahead, project to the future, if you can go back, shall we say, to the younger Wendy Padbury, said, yeah, you'll still be doing Zoe Harriet in the 21st century?
Yeah, no, it was unthinkable. I mean, it was not something that would even cross your mind, was it?
I would have kept my kilt, you know,
yeah,
and my shirt and everything.
Cat suit, come on.
But when I left, I didn't think 40 years later I'd be,
Well, it's been terrific sharing some thoughts with yourself today. Hopefully we will connect again on one of our radio shows, our Zoom links, and various other bits and pieces that's actually there.
I'm glad the radio show's still going then. Yeah.
Well, we might have to sort of go on location more, but it's still actually in essence. So good to the Fraser Hines and Wendy Padbury. Huge thanks.
Pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Dr. Bell's fabulous
magical mirrorless picture box.
Glad you said that, indeed, because it's got, you know, the Harry Potter theme comings together, the photography service your costume deserves, and we're speaking to
Alistair Bell, Dr. Bell himself.
Dr. Bell himself. Marin, any questions for Dr. Bell?
Yes, so what do you do here?
Quite simply, we're using hamster and pixie technology in order to transport you to brand new realms.
Anna, although she might not be keen to admit the fact that she's a keen Romanian Harry Potter aficionado soul, basically. So no vampires, although occasionally they occur, but Harry Potter is very much there.
It is indeed. I would say that I wanted to take a photograph like this, but I'm not sure I'm going to be visible in the picture, so I have to keep my composure.
So share with us, what do you do?
In layman's terms, we're green screen photography service for the cosplayers. We're also here today doing the guest photography services as well. So simply we'll take a photo on our green screen and our wonderful technologies will produce Hollywood style images for you to purchase. We're running about 8 different backgrounds today for the cosplayers, and each guest has their own themed background.
And just to confirm, you are not an AI. You are indeed a real-life human being. You're using the technology. The technology isn't using you.
It is not AI. It is all stuff that I have designed and put together myself.
Aaron,
what is your most popular background?
Currently, it has to be fire. So we have a very flamey background, and that, especially with kids, they see that one, and that's the one they want, even if their parents don't.
Fire. Aaron, or rather, Anna.
Anna, I was actually wondering, because you have here the green screen and everything, can multiple people be in the picture? And if yes, how does that change the process of the picture? Does it have the green screen to be bigger, or do you need to change the camera type, or I don't know.
No, it makes no difference whatsoever. We might have to move the light a little bit, but apart from that, it's exactly the same process and it's all automated.
Is this your first Sci-Fi Scarborough or are you a regular?
It is our first Sci-Fi Scarborough.
I thought I hadn't seen you before when we covered these. This is our seventh, etc. But a reminder, of course, it's Dr. Bell's magical mirrorless picture box, which we're referring to. I have to ask the question. You do seem to have a nod in the direction of steampunk. Is that intentional?
It is very intentional. Our roots were in steampunk events. And so everything, including our lovely little pixies and hamsters, are all steampunk themed.
I was thinking Johnny Depp, obviously echoing his steampunk essence from that point of view. And for people who can't get to see you today, will you be present at the Steampunk Festival of Lincoln later on in the year? Where else can they find you, or can they find you online?
Potentially, they'll find us at the Asylum in Lincoln. Waiting to hear
that
on
is
that
the steampunk
one.
Festival, in case people are saying, yes, I am, yeah.
Yeah. But we're at various comic cons over the next 6 months. If you check out our Facebook, Instagram, and our website, you'll be able to find us quite easily. Just search for Dr. Bell.
Dr. Bell, we salute you.
Thank you very much.
And we continue the range of superlative artists that we've got here at Sci-Fi Scarborough by speaking to the fabulous
Solly.
Sully, good to connect with your good self. I mean, the quality that we've got here, I think, is from Superman through clearly the Dark... Well, actually, you've got all of the incarnations. You've got Adam West right the way through to Christian Bale. George Clooney's nipples in there?
No.
I thought that was probably...
But no, I didn't want to do Clooney.
I could tell you were torn on that particular one. But, you know, no, obviously, we have a range of other folks. Maren.
It makes me very happy because Henry Cavill is looking at me right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I thought it'd be nice to like have like the evolution of the Batman and the Superman.
And I've got to say, I'm very impressed. We've got David Bowie in the background there. We've also got Keanu Reeves. We've got obviously Leonard Nimoy, James Doohan, and DeForest Kelly in their incarnations,
There's a lot of Star Wars. It's my first love.
Of course.
Yeah, there's so, 28 years worth of my art here, so.
28 years, yeah. That's only 3 years less than I've been teaching at the University of Lincoln, so there you go. Over to you, Anna.
I was looking at the photograph Lucifer and the one with Scooby-Doo, and I was wondering, how long does it take you to make this?
We'll take that whilst Anna actually takes her telephone call from Chloe, who's another one of our reporters, so the time.
Sometimes the painting could take me about 1 or 2 days, bigger pictures take me 2 or 3 weeks, so on average about... 5-6 days in between other things.
Have you always been a science fiction aficionado and, dare I say, Chelsea supporter?
Yes and yes. Chelsea did come first since, yeah, I was 4 years old. So
the critical thing, of course, is there's a certain game taking place at Wembley today between a side that I particularly like and, of course, you. But I'm sure, I mean, this is the joy of science fiction. We can still bond.
We can, absolutely. The blue should have given it away, the sky blue.
Yeah. Well, possibly, but no. I try to avoid my football scenarios at science fiction conventions, obviously. How far have you come today?
We've come from the Midlands, near Coventry. So this is the first time for this particular show. But I've been doing Comic Cons for over 22 years. We do shows every weekend and internationally as well. So
it's just as well Anna's left to actually do with her food, mention the C word, basically. She's got some negative associations with Coventry. It's best not to go there, really.
Oh, dear. Yes, we live in Nuneaton, and I was born in Coventry. So.
which is very good. Do you have a favourite of all of these wonderful artworks?
People ask me that, but I always say I haven't painted it yet, to try to make the next one better. But there are a couple that I'm quite fond of which aren't available anymore because the originals are sold and the prints have sold out. So a couple of Star Wars ones that are finished. But
I do like your homage to the world's finest Superman and Batman that you've actually got up there. Although somehow a little bit sad to see that George Clooney didn't manage to make the cut.
He didn't.
Never mind.
No. Yeah, he didn't. But
How can people get in touch with your good self if they can't get to this fabulous weekend event at Sci-Fi Scarborough?
They can go to my website, which is sm-artworks.co.uk, and I'm also on the social medias as well. So we're looking for, just look for SM Artworks.
And have you been here before?
This is the first time in Scarborough, yeah.
Well, I think you're in for a good time, basically. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Heard a lot of good things about this show, so yeah.
It'll be... I didn't even mention the Bruce Lee routine, which is very impressive on the side as well. So great stuff though.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you like my work. Appreciate it.
Sigh of relief. As we said earlier, thankfully Anna left because the C word was mentioned by our last interviewee. Yes, she can listen back on the whole thing. It's where he originated from. She had to go. But another C word has arrived. Chloe!
Hello.
Chloe Rose is with us. How are you, Chloe?
I'm very well, thank you. It's so exciting already. I've never been to a sci-fi sort of convention or whatever you call it. So it's going to be really fun.
Well, Steve Dickinson, the guru behind all this, has already said he's very excited and looking forward to meeting you. We're literally a few minutes away from the official opening ceremony for the whole thing, so we're in time from that point of view. We'll have a little wander around to see. I haven't seen much Stranger Things as yet though, which is a surprise.
I know, we need it. I've got my calendar up, Alex. I've got a Stranger Things calendar, so come on, let's get more collections. Let's do this.
And you've just returned, obviously, from a break, shall we say. Was it a break or was it a case of, no, I was working in the kitchens throughout the cruise thing. That's why I haven't got time.
Oh, it was a 2-week break, the Mediterranean Sea, went to Spain, a bit of France, and lots of food, so I enjoyed it.
Davros is just coming behind us, just a little warning there.
Oh, wow, he looks awesome.
The original Davros in all sorts of ways. Maybe somebody who might be a backing singer for yourself, Chloe?
I think, you know, it could give it a different vibe to the song, couldn't it, really? Film music, let's go for it.
It's a way forward, certainly. You're listening to Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting on location with the Midweek Drive at Sci-Fi Scarborough 2024. And we always like to have a few snakes here. You know, we're familiar with the snakes.
I've had one in my... Wait, I'm not allowed to say that yet.
No, yes.
It's lovely.
It's a real snake. We've got real snake. We've got real pussycats. We've got real animals. And we've got everything on that sort of basis. And we've got a real Chloe Rose, which is truly wonderful. And I think we're now going to try and catch a few words with Professor Cooper's Emporium, established 1840, of Victorian Futurism. Well, we always like to keep our promises, and this is quite an extraordinary stand. I'll say it again. Professor Cooper's Emporium of Victorian Futurism. I'm getting a big steampunk vibe here. Have we got the genuine Professor Cooper here?
You certainly have, yes, you have.
Well, Professor, talk us through what magical things we've got here, in which we even see a kind of Cape Crusader Batman with official Bat 1966 material emblazoned upon his person.
That's right, that's decoupage style. Mannequin. All of these other mannequins are all upscaled steampunk style. There's the Giga inspired artwork that I've done. Some of the horror things here, and then there's the alien clocks that I've done. And around this side, we've got all the all handmade again. Alien stasis shoes with alien snails in them. Fallout masks. upscale. There's a steampunk pit boy there, all wearable. So yeah.
I mean, Chloe, I've got to bring you in here because there are an awful lot of stranger things here just as you're passed by various stranger people in cosplay.
I was thinking that. I love the Halloween theme you've got over there as well. It looks fantastic. Yeah, but really unusual and really interesting to look at as well.
All handmade. Because I don't have a 3D printer, so it's all...
What is it made with?
The DAS clay, the air hardening clay.
Yeah.
I use that a lot. Only thing is it's really heavy. So you have to be careful what you actually put in the frames. But if you keep it quite thin, you know, when you're making it, it's not so bad. I'm not clever enough to do resin, so there you go.
I wouldn't have a clue. So honestly, love the creative side of this. It's brilliant.
Well, these that I make, you can wear these all day because they don't weigh a thing. So you can have it on your arm. You've got to flick up lights, things like this, you know.
I think we may well be asking either Anna or Marion or possibly Chloe to actually model this in a few moments for our Facebook scenario. Marion, any questions?
How long does it take to make an item of these?
Well, the pit boy, there's about a month's work there, because then there's all the dry brushing. I don't. People just think I spray things, but I don't. I spend hours layering the, putting the layers up. You know, like the guns, something like this. You know, all this takes hours of work. And, it takes a long time.
Anna must be like being back home in Bucharest, really.
Yes, I was...
Full light masks and everything.
Yes, and with the vampires. I was actually wondering, is this your first convention? And if you have any special creations that were brought especially for this convention here?
No, well, luck would have it, because The Fallout, it's a new series, isn't it? It's The Fallout. And so this was just luck, really.
Amazon Prime, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. And I had these masks that I was going to do something with. So I thought, well, I'll just have been, you know, in line with that. And I had this anyway. So I thought, well, I'll just, you know, make that for the event. But no, this is my 10th event. I've been coming 10 years.
So you've actually been pretty much a sci-fi Scarborough everyone. Oh, I can only say we've been to 7. I can't believe we haven't spoken to you before. Never mind.
It's all right.
You're obviously too wrapped up with various other folk. But yeah. Professor Cooper, it's been awesome connecting with yourself.
Yeah,
were you really established in 1840 then?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a time machine, you know. It's a time machine. After this, we'll get back in the time machine and go back.
And the cheeky monkey who's actually too on side there?
That's David. David. Do you want to introduce Claire?
Yes, I think we need to. We have a cheeky monkey here who's come along to say greetings.
This is Clementine.
Hello, how's it going? Good to see you. Hello.
Okay, your chance to actually interview. Is his name Cheeky or just Monkey?
Clem.
Clem. Clem. All right. Would you like to interview Clem then?
Sure. All names start with C. Hi, Clem. How are you? Is this your first time here?
I'm a bit nervous.
You're a bit nervous.
Yeah. A little bit.
You're all right.
I mean, to me, this is what radio is all about, you see. Ventriloquism on radio. It's the essence of the medium. It's what works as R2-D2 passes us by. Chloe, any questions for Clem?
Why are you nervous? You know, you're looking fantastic. You're all ready to go. I love the dinosaur themes as well that you bring. What's making you nervous?
Dinosaurs in the third one. Yeah. Brachiosaurus.
So cute. So what's your favourite thing then around here? Have you been a look around?
Bananas.
What you're enjoying?
He loves bananas.
What's not to love?
Have you got some bananas?
Bunch of bananas. Marin?
Do you have any favourite sci-fi film or TV show?
Doctor Who.
Likes Doctor Who.
They're the tenant.
Yeah.
Stranger Things?
Scary.
It's a bit scary for
scary.
Him.
Scary.
Yeah. I'm only 12.
Where can we see you perform, Clem? Are you going out on the road to any children's parties or such like?
TikTok.
TikTok, yes. Of course, always important to actually have on TikTok. And the message with the QR code that we've actually got there on TikTok is quite clearly... it is indeed. Something we can't really say on air, but it's important.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, guys, take care. We'll take some photos and keep on keeping on.
Of course. Cool.
So true, Anna. You would agree that bow ties are cool, that fish fingers and custard are actually cool. We're speaking to...
My name's Kerry, and I play Matt Smith, Doctor 11, and we're with a group called Rogues Gallifrey here today, showing our wares up and our TARDIS, so people can come along and take a picture of the TARDIS.
Well, and Chloe, as a singer, songwriter and drama teacher, clearly you are drawn to the TARDIS, I gather.
I am, absolutely. Are these all props, then?
Yeah, so these are either... props that were made by someone else or props that were made by ourselves. So some of these props here were made by ourselves. This was made by me, so yeah. And then some bits we actually had a Fez, the book there, and the sort of keys you can get. So yeah, we just found items that we put together that are Doctor Who-esque. Like I've got more things to bring. I've got more keys to sort out and a whole load of things still to sort out for the next event.
Well, you've got the sonic screwdriver, which is the most important thing. Several of those.
One Matt Smith used, one David Tennant used, and that one there was used by Tom Baker. And I have my own, of course.
Absolutely.
with that, different issues, but yeah.
It's a health and safety matter, clearly, from that point of view. Anna?
You have the screwdriver, you have the bow tie, you have everything. Yes. But I see here the fish fingers and custard, and obviously I see what's written there, but can you tell to our listeners what's behind them, what's the story behind them?
For those crazy folk who didn't see Matt Smith's introduction.
When Matt Smith was introduced, he met a very young Amy Pond. She was about 9 or 10 when he met her. He basically broke into her house after crash-landing the TARDIS as it was exploding. The library ended up in the swimming pool. The swimming pool ended up in the library, whichever way you went round. He then asked, because he was regenerating, for Amy to cook him something. So he said, you know, can you give me an apple? He had an apple, he didn't like the apple. He said, you know, you're Scottish, fry me something. Then she said fish fingers and custard, which is what... So he ate a bowl of fish fingers dipped in custard, which apparently is a bit of a delicacy. I've no idea.
It's a thought. Now, obviously, you have two...
I personally never had it, but on set, Matt had little coconut biscuits he was eating instead of fish fingers, because obviously, eating fish fingers and custard all the time, it might not be very nice.
This is, of course, the... is it the 60th? No, we've passed the 60th anniversary. Oh, it's the 61st anniversary. I've got to give you 61.
The 60th anniversary just gone just now. So, yeah, the triple episode, the sort of 60th anniversary was excellent, absolutely excellent.
We've just been speaking to, obviously, Fraser Hines and Wendy Padbury. Very much almost my generation, dare I say, in terms of things.
Slightly before me. I'm very much at the beginning of Tom Baker's episode, so I'm more of a Tom Baker fan. But, you know... And my partner Ash there is a William Hartnell fan.
I never have guessed, actually. The way he's holding his lapels there.
Ash is the one that got me into doing Doctor Who, because before this I was Star Wars solely, nothing else. But I kept going to events with them, and they said, "Oh, you look like Matt Smith." I said, "Oh, I'm not trying to be Matt Smith," but eventually I relented and did my Matt Smith costume.
Clearly this is it, and I suppose we won't go young man, or various other sort of things. But the first Doctor.
The original, you may say. Hello.
Steady, that could go into political correctness, going crazy in present times. But yes, how has your commitment to obviously converting somebody from Star Wars to Doctor Who, is that a big triumph?
Absolutely. Superb. Yes. I started out with Doctor Who, and Kerry is now fully over this side. But then again, I've had a compromise. I am now fully into Star Wars.
Wow, there we are.
This
is what we need in the Israel-Iran Gaza conflict, you know, just to sort of take those things on board.
Exactly.
Maren.
I love that you got the fez. That's one of my favourite moments for Matt Smith.
Well, this is actually a fez that Ash had lying around for a very long time.
It was picked up at an office party in London about 20 years ago. It's a very long story. And probably
we're fairly flexible, you know. I mean, it's
actually a tarbouche. Fez is where they come from, in the country is the country you come from. So, but this is what's known as a tarbouche. Fez is the colour. So basically that deep crimson red is the fez colour. So
in the background, obviously, we've got the TARDIS, we've got the control console from the TARDIS, we've got two Daleks that are actually on guard of the whole thing. What do you think would be best for Chloe Rose, singer-songwriter extraordinaire, and our Alameda Rick Drive to pose with your good selves with
her? Please, yeah, please do, come along, yeah.
I think that's everything then, basically.
I love that, yes, please, absolutely, yeah. Thank you.
Well, there we are. And how do people get in touch with you guys online?
We are on Facebook. If you look for Rogues Gallifrey on Facebook, we're on there. And very shortly, we're going to be on Instagram as well as Rogues Gallifrey. So just keep an eye out for that. It's coming soon.
Well, great news, because not only have we returned to a wondrous soul, but Chloe is a happy bunny, because, Chloe, we've found some Strangest Things material.
We have. We found the Stranger Things material. It looks amazing. I want to find out, though, what is in these jars? At first I thought, is it jam? But I'm not sure. We need to find out more, don't we?
Well, we're back with you after you were so impressive with one of our early interviews today. So back once again with
Graham again.
And, of course,
Atticus.
Atticus. Atticus, the feline friend here. Atticus, who I must admit, there was a moment I thought earlier this morning, was this a kind of animated... obviously, he is very animated. but, you know, he's suffering from cerebral palsy. Tell us about Atticus and how this whole store actually supports Atticus.
Yeah, so we actually rescue animals with this kind of condition. So it could be... the cerebral palsy, which is actually cerebellar hyperplasia for the animals, but we've also got animals that are disabled or have got no eyesight, so we take them in and we do this to try and help raise money to keep them.
A parade of costumes going behind us, and indeed I think the town crier is also passing us by, so it's just one wonderful thing after another. Chloe, questions?
Oh, I love the story behind that as well. I'd just love to know what's kind of within them, because they've all got different themes, and I just wanted to know more about it and where the idea came from.
Okay, yeah, so I think I hit on this earlier, that we decorated our bathroom during the first lockdown, and I got some prints for Harry Potter, so we used that, and that's where it started. Then we expanded, and pretty much everything you see is bubble baths, shower gels or bath salts. So it's all dermatologically tested, it's vegan, it's cruelty-free from animals as well, because with us being big advocates of animals.
We'll be devastated if you start saying, what, you're testing it on me first? Outrageous.
You told me earlier that you plan to go to other conventions and also come to Lincoln. So could you tell us when you're planning to come to Lincoln?
Oh,
sometime in the future, I think, is the response to that.
Not too distant future. I can't remember.
It'll happen. Yeah. Best way, presumably, go to the web address and find out your details there for where you're going to be found.
Yeah, absolutely. If you just follow us on Facebook, so it's Morley's Mystical Magic. We always say where we're going to be in advance, mainly because people want to know where Atticus is going to be so they can come and see him again.
And obviously, as we said earlier, this is your first Sci-Fi Scarborough. It's beginning to really take off now. No pun intended. Any thoughts?
At the minute, it's looking very promising, and I'm glad the weather's been positive as well. It's a lovely sunny day. So
Chloe Rose has arrived, so she's brought the sunshine with her, so it's all very important.
That's what it must be.
Yeah. Guys, take care. Best to Atticus. We'll take a few final photos as well with respect to that, and just keep up the excellent work.
Yep, brilliant, and feel free to buy anything.
Well, Chloe, we've had our first batch of interviews with your good self. Any thoughts on what you've been seeing and experiencing so far?
I'm just really enjoying myself. I've never been to anywhere like this before, but there's so many different things related to sci-fi that you wouldn't think of, you know, even shower gel that's sort of made and, you know, animal made. Not animal made, crikey, no, I've got the wrong thing. Not with animals in it, crikey, I love animals. But there's body art, there's people dressed in these awesome sci-fi costumes. There's so much going on. It's honestly, I would recommend this to anyone. Come and have a look.
Well, we're currently in the ocean room. I think we'll be checking out the spa theatre in a few moments with respect to the first talk that we're having there. But we might actually grab a few words with some of the exhibitors here. What are your thoughts, Anna? Is it what you expected?
Well, it's my first time seeing cosplay live, and it's quite, not weird, but surprising, because seeing people literally become someone else in minutes, it's different, but yeah, it looks amazing.
Marin, clearly you're doing this as prep for when you take part in your own cosplay scenario. Anything that you'll, I mean, I see a cosplay competition sign up there, you might like to go for it?
I mean, yeah, I think this has been good. It's been a good beginning step to when I do the cosplaying in May that I'm going to in Lincoln. And no, it's great. All the costumes that I made are fantastic and everybody is like so in character. It's great.
I've got to ask, what sort of cosplay will you be doing? What characters are you going to be dressed up in? I love to know this.
I don't know at the moment. I'm either thinking either Star Wars Padme or a Matrix type thing. So I've got a long leather coat, I've got the glasses, I can slick my hair back.
You are going to rock that, I can tell already. I need to see these pictures when you do it.
I definitely will.
And as a drama teacher, when you're not singing and producing some wonderful material there, Chloe, how do you feel this event kind of manages to really show the importance of creativity and the arts in general for our stressful world?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important. I think it's all about, in here, it's a lot of self-expression. People being able to express their identity and the things that they love, and I think that's so important. And I think sometimes, like you're saying, in a world we live in, all this war and conflict, it's just not worth it. Let's be happy. Let's express ourselves, and there's a lot of this going on today. It's brilliant.
In the background, we've got the start of a talk on cosplay. Would you like to sort of sit in on some of this and just get a general flavour?
Yeah, this is
okay,
great.
Let's find a couple of seats, or four seats, and we'll do that. Well, we've just been enjoying some of the talks here at Sci-Fi Scarborough, and we're back on our little audio promenade, of course, that being Chloe Rose and Anna Koshkinel and Marin Hobson, together with yours truly, Alex Levchuk, and we've been drawn to the Perseus Race, Volume 1, and we're now about to speak to
Alex O'Neill. So I'm the author of, well, the author and sort of editor of this book, but it's an anthology, so I wrote some of the stories and I put it all together.
The creator, in many ways, the great bird of the galaxy of the Perseus Race, Omniscience, written, of course, by Alex O'Neill. Share with us, what's it all about?
So in the pandemic, I pitched the idea of a sort of sci-fi idea in a writer's forum, and people came forward with short story ideas, and over the sort of three lockdowns, we put together a book. It came out just at the end of third lockdown, so about a year and a half. We never met in person, it was all online, and none of us are professional full-time writers. Some of us are semi-professionals, some of us are amateur. We all have normal jobs that we didn't have in the pandemic, so we were bored looking for something to do. And this is what we came up with. And then, since then, we've done a couple of little add-ons, a couple of little extra stories, just to keep people ticking over, because we're slowly working on a second one that should come out at the end of this year.
Excellent. A COVID bonus. Chloe?
Ooh. Have you got any sort of favourite characters within the stories?
I invented a character that I used in one of my stories in the first one. He's coming back in the second one, called Inspector Morris, and he is like Inspector Ghoul from Inspector Calls, but in space.
Yes.
He's very like morally based. He's very sort of what's enigmatic. A bit like Sherlock Holmes crossed with like Inspector Ghoul from Inspector Calls, basically, but in space. He's my favourite character.
Anna.
I was actually wondering, you said you started writing during the pandemic. Was it because you were home bored, or was it always a passion of yours to write?
Good question. So I wrote a lot when I was a young person, when I was a kid, and I write silly stories with myself in and stuff like that, and I hadn't done it for years. And then when COVID came in, I was in the middle of my master's degree and everything was closed, like the pubs and the gym and everything like that. So I was just like, oh, if there's a time to do it, it's probably now. I pitched the idea, and it took a lot longer than I thought it would to get this done. I thought it'd take a few months, but it took a year and a half. But yes, I'd written when I was younger, and this was my first attempt at writing a proper book, basically, is this.
I do like the line, never judge a book by its cover, pick me up and look inside, which is wonderful. So let's do a random little look at that. I'll take that challenge and randomly open this up, and let's see where we actually go. So the warbling sounds of the suit's feminine voice are reached them a moment later. Here, kitty, 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 I see where you ran. Come out, children. The voice faded into the distance. Not good, Paul said. Not good at all. Birch took out his knife and started hacking at the wall of ice, spraying shards across Paul's face. I could go on, just a random choice there. But what's happening there?
I actually couldn't tell you, because that is someone else's story. But what
there
I was going to say when you read that out is that there's 15 stories and 12 authors. So me and two of the others did two. Everyone else did one. Is that they're all different styles and different flavours of sci-fi. So some of them are more sci-fi horror, some of them are more romantic. They're also different writing styles as well. So everyone's from all over the world, so they'll be very subtly different styles as well. So,
Maren.
Is there a particular thing that inspired you in the world you created?
So the main concept is there's no aliens, so what happens to the human race, what technology do we develop, what kind of conflicts are there? It draws a lot on, I'd say, The Expanse. That's one we say a lot. Star Trek a bit, 40K a little bit, Doctor Who a little bit, but The Expanse is the main one. I read a really fantastic short story anthology as COVID came in, and that's what inspired me to do that. It was just a collection of time travel stories, but it was just going, oh, that was so much fun to read like 10 different stories all in different styles. I want to do something like that, and then that's what sort of launched it, basically. Yeah.
And your thoughts on Sci-Fi Scarborough? How's the event been for yourself?
So that's an interesting question. So I came to the first one when I was 17 in 2014. I came to the second one and then I moved in 2015, and I moved from Scarborough. And now I'm 27, I'm back with my own book. So it's really interesting to be back and see it's still a really good event that's still going. It's as good as it was when it opened in 2014. And it's nice to just know so many people as well. It's a lovely sci-fi... Comic Cons are always quite friendly places, but this is a particularly friendly one, I think, because Scarborough's got that kind of atmosphere. Everyone knows everyone, and that helps prop it up, I think.
I'm sure Steve will take that and actually use it as a wonderful endorsement, but many thanks indeed. And how can people actually find out about yourself and the Purseless Race? Do you have a website and so on?
There's two things. So we've got a list of all our social media on our business card over on that table and a little leaflet, but we've got a Facebook, an Instagram, and a website. And the website's probably the number one. Uno place to go. Yeah.
And how do people find the website? Do we have an address?
www.purselessrace.com.
PARSOLUSRace.com. It's been a delight connecting with your good self. See you again very soon, no doubt.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you.
Having just had the privilege and pleasure of seeing a trio of triumvirate actors from the Star Wars universe on stage at the Sci-Fi Scarborough event, we felt that it was only right that we actually start connecting with some of these fine folk, including one who's actually been in Crossroads. Yes, indeed. Yeah, Crossroads. Yeah. Fiona Curzon and more. Actually, there, we're talking, of course, source of Paul Blake. How are you, Paul?
Well, that's very kind of you to mention Crossroads. It was a long while ago. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, I'm good. I'm enjoying Scarborough immensely. That's where I am, isn't it? I am in Scarborough. So
if
yes,
it's Saturday, it must be Scarborough.
It must be Scarborough. Yeah, it's lovely. Nice sea. Very, very angry sea outside.
Well, exactly. But angry, but at the same time, deep hidden depths in there. A bit like our Romanian colleague here, Anna Koshkinel. Anna, I don't think Crossroads ever made that.
Yes. Fantastic. You won't have heard of Crossroads then, Anna.
I think my parents did, probably.
Yes. I think your grandparents, more likely, actually.
Possibly both. But I do have a question. So Star Wars has quite an extensive fandom, and there are a lot of young people. And I was wondering, how are you able to connect with them, to people that are now 16 and 17 and watch the timeless Star Wars?
Good question, Anna. I have no idea. I mean, I have lots of grandchildren, and they tell me lots of things about whether things are any good or not. But, I mean, we've been lucky that... I was very young when I first made Star Wars, even though it was way back in 1976.
Last century.
Last century, absolutely. So, I mean, we've been privileged to grow up with the older generation who now bring their children to, and that's the connection, I think, is that they forced their poor children to sit in front of movies and TV series, and that's how we have a something of a connection with them.
Maybe they're forced to start, but afterwards they start loving you so much and loving the whole fandom and the idea that they're just going to do the same with their kids.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. They were a great series of movies originally. They were made for children originally. Not many people remember that.
George Lucas was just one big kid, really.
He was, absolutely.
And he was so quiet.
He had this kind of vision of a really brilliant kid series. But like all great kid stories, it transcended the world for children, and adults took it on much the same way as The Wizard of Oz and those sort of...
Just think, if he'd actually got the rights to Flash Gordon, a whole different universe would have manifested. But there we are. Chloe, a singer-songwriter and drama teacher. Questions for yourself.
Yes. I would love to know, you know, when you create a character, what kind of... Do you have, like, practitioner influences with that that help you become and embody that character? Like, what's your character development? Sorry, there's so many questions.
So, 3 weeks there to actually put that into bed, really.
God, Chloe, that's an interesting starter for 10, that one. most of the actors from my generation will tell you that it was all they could do to avoid bumping into the furniture, let alone character development. And as far as aliens in movies are concerned, a lot of things happen via the costumes. The costumes would kind of suggest how you should move and how you should react. I mean, if you were lucky enough to have scenes in movies, then obviously the scene would dictate who you were and what you were going to do. And you do quite a lot of research on that to begin with, particularly if the movies were realism-based. But different horses for courses. I mean, generally, work was the answer. And still is today. You can't get anything wrong if you keep on working at it. And that's what most good actors will do. They won't stop. We used to get criticised when we were young by the Americans when they would do a movie with us or we were working with them because we were so lazy as actors. Not so today. The young generation of actors today are much more committed.
Don't go down the line of Olivier and Dustin Hoffman, please. It's called acting, my dear boy.
Absolutely, it's acting. No, but I think... So we as a young generation of actors are criticised because we were lazy and we just turn up and do what Olivier suggested, which is do a bit of acting. It depends on where you were trained and where you were coming from in that, you know. But I trained as a drama teacher and was going to either teach or act, and I tossed a coin and it came down on acting. So that's how I've been for the last 40 years. But
it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's lovely to
but,
be talking.
But drama, when I studied drama, was nothing to do with theatre originally. Yeah. It was merely getting a form of therapy in a way, in helping all kinds of things to do with society and people to integrate better and how to understand themselves better, how to understand each other and how to come to terms with that. So it had a much wider concept. Then it then became confused with theatre, which is a totally different discipline.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
And Chloe will be performing on stage as well in the very near future in June. Chloe, are you performing in?
Yes, it's the Caxton's Theatre. It might not be as excited of all the things that you've done. But the character I'm playing, oh dear, well, she goes off with the groom. So that there is very raunchy role this week.
Oh, exciting. Yes. Exciting,
oh,
yeah.
Wow, to tell you that I'm in a play seems bizarre, and I want to know more about you. But
it's a small world, but that's why we... Therapy, you see, Paul. Therapy. Are you on the social media? Are people aware?
No. I have grandchildren and children. That takes care of myself.
I would have thought so, exactly. But have you enjoyed your time at Sci-Fi Scarborough so far?
No, I hate it. They're awful people. Absolutely. I mean, it's a great place. I've been a couple of times before to Scarborough. And I live down in Dorset, so I'm kind of used to the seaside.
Quite as cold, though, I know.
Well, it can be pretty chilly. I mean, it's cold today.
No, Sarah Huntley, one of our other regular actors, she regularly takes the dip in the coast there.
Good
so,
for her. Yeah, me too. My sons go swim all year round in the sea, which is great.
Marin?
How would you describe being on the set of Star Wars?
Everybody kind of wants to know that. I mean, it was so long ago for me. I mean, it was nearly 50 years ago, but I remember bits and pieces. I remember the cantina sequence very well because it was real. A lot of the other stuff wasn't real. It was a painted set. The Millennium Falcon was only two paintings with a ramp going up the middle of them, and you fell off the back if you went up the ramp. That's how real that was. But the cantina was genuine, so you could go and sit in the booths or at the bar and play with all the different coloured drinks and things. So that was exciting, and it was cool enough. There were a lot of us on that set. I mean, lots of creatures, lots of little people, lots of creatures in prosthetics, lots of puppets. So it was fascinating when you weren't working. So I went and watched several of the other scenes because it was so much fun.
Sounds like the Wizard of Oz with the Munchkins, but without the orgies afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Incidentally, I did one of these in America with the original Munchkins,
wow,
who were in their late 80s. The two of them who played the mayor and I think his wife in the original Wizard of Oz, which, and they were incredible.
A year which gave the world not only Wizard of Oz but also Gone with the Wind as well.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. And then World War II. Let's hope we don't have World War III. And finally, we'll just sort of wrap up, Paul, by saying, of course, the hand shot first scenario is there. All these things are actually around. Which convention are you heading off to next? Where does Paul Blake head to after Scarborough?
I'm going to Liverpool on May the 4th, for May the 4th be with you.
So see what you did there?
Then I'm off to, I'm going to Niagara Falls, which is a bit different. And then I'm going to Nashville in Tennessee, so I'll be out there. But we go to America quite a lot.
It's been a genuine delight, Paul, connecting with your good self, and hopefully we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future.
Brilliant.
We're really privileged now to speak to an awesome individual, a person whose voice can be heard on so many audiobooks, so many packages, etc. It's the wonderful Liza Ross. How are you, Liza?
I'm very well, thank you. Enjoying my day here.
Well, thank you. And it's great to have you here. Of course, you're here with your husband.
Yes, Gary Kagan, who's been in so many different things, Star Wars and Doctor Who, etc.
You would have been proud of Garrick in the question and answer session. He was outstanding, as you'd expect.
Well, Garrick and, actually, and Paul Blake together are often very good value, I think. Yes, they almost have a double act, don't they?
In fact, it would have been perfect had you been there as well, Liza, but obviously you had to man the fort here.
Absolutely, and I wasn't in Star Wars, I have to admit, much though I'd like to have been.
Exactly, but you were in Starfleet, of course. You were indeed Lamia in Starfleet, which I can remember, but sadly I don't think either Marin nor Anna nor Chloe will have any idea of what we're talking about. So just a brief description of what Starfleet was.
Well, Starfleet was, of course, a great hunt for the princess. And eventually they find her. It is Lamia, but she goes through a lot of terrible adventures on this ship and people attacking her and nearly killing her. And she always comes out of it. She's very kind to everyone. And she so gladly she wins out in the end.
Absolutely, much like yourself, Liza. It is very important. Okay, Chloe.
Out of all the films that you've taken part in, which character was your favourite and why?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you start with Batman? Do you start with... Where do we start?
Well, I really enjoyed Batman, partly because the set was so fantastic. It was just wonderful. They'd reproduced Gotham City. And someone was saying they wouldn't do it now. They'd have a green background. And it was great, you know. And Tim Burton, the director, is so wonderful.
I was going to say, did Tim Burton actually treat you well? Obviously, we needed to know that, which is important. Anything else, Chloe?
Yes. Have you got any sort of advice for any sort of new actresses, actors out there, for inspiration of what they should do for their future?
And Chloe asking here, not only is a drama tutor, which he is, and a singer, but also a performer as well.
I think it's getting harder and harder for actors. There's much more competition because all the universities, and we just had a few drama schools when I went to the Bristol Old Vic School. Now every university has a course, so that increases the competition. And I believe it's very difficult to get auditions, and you have to pay for auditions. So I sympathize with anybody who's got through that and got a place at a drama school. I think you just have to persevere. You have to work harder at getting work than at the work.
Well, from the challenges of working in the profession to an actor from Romania who's doing a master's degree over in this country, and you thought she was from Canada. She's wearing a New Brunswick routine, but she's from Bucharest. It's very confusing, Liza. Anyway, over to you.
I do have a question. When you were playing Lamia in Starfleet, what do you feel like was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome?
Well, Lamia is very sweet, very gentle. I think to get the gentleness of her, you know, is not that easy. She bowed. She was a bit subservient to the men, but she does turn out to be a princess in the end, so she gets her own back. But I think to get that gentle, sweet quality is into the voice. And she had to be very young, which even when I did her, I was perhaps not as young as Lamia. So, interesting that you're from Bucharest, because my husband, Gary Kagan, did a film in Bucharest.
And hopefully grab a few words with him in a few moments, actually.
Yes.
Anything else, Anna?
I was wondering, do you feel like Lamia had personal traits of yours, or in the end you started having personal traits from Lamia?
Could be intriguing, given that she was a 6-inch puppet, but never mind.
No.
It's a character, I know.
She was not very like me, because, of course, she was as I say, quite subservient to men. I tend to be a bit bossy, and but when you're playing parts, that's what happens. You are not what you are in real life. That's what acting is, and I think that's why we enjoy acting, to be different people. You know, that's the fun of it.
Marin,
did you always want to be an actress?
Yes, after I stopped wanting to be a ballet dancer because I realized I didn't really have the ability for that.
The jetés and the pas de deux always confuse me, really.
Well, when you're young, you think it's all just twirling around with, you know, and looking beautiful in tutus. In fact, it's tremendously athletic, which I'm not an athlete.
And Liza, are you based in Britain now? Are you international? Are you global? Canadian? Canada? Or is it a case of, look, with Zoom, we could do the work anywhere?
Definitely based in Britain. I went to the Bristol Vic School and I've always worked here. And it is very good. London's a very good centre for actors, I think.
Well, Liza, it's been terrific sharing some thoughts with your good self today. Absolutely delighted. We'll hopefully grab a few words with your husband in a few moments. He's currently busily engaged, obviously, with the Star Wars line taken up to towards there. Big dark lighter. Did you have it? I mean, you met on the Batman set, is that right? So basically Star Wars had worked?
No. We met in Canada at the University of Toronto in a university play, and I was playing his mother.
Wow.
So that would amuse you when I was about 20.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, that's acting for you. Liza, it's been terrific. Take care, and hopefully again we'll speak again somewhere, somehow, in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you very much, and to all the interviewees.
What would you like?
We have another terrific member of the trio that we've just been blessed with seeing on stage here at Sci-Fi Scarborough. Not just an individual member, as we mentioned, the husband of Liza Ross, who we've just been speaking to. It's the fabulous Garrick. How are you, Garrick?
I'm well. I'm nice to be called the husband of Liza Ross, I think. It's very nice.
Well, I thought so. I was very impressed with the amount and the range of books and audiobooks in particular that you've been responsible for. I mean, the Andy Serkis scenario, the full Silmarillion, all of those things. I mean, that really has caught fire in the 21st century, hasn't it?
Well, the audiobook business certainly has, and I'm really proud to be sort of a part of it in a way. I mean, we started very early on. And Penguin Random House particularly, I've done so much with them. And I feel it's been a very privileged part of my so-called career to be able to work with the people. The last one that I've done very recently with Werner Herzog, and I cannot imagine a more exciting man to work with over 10 days on his autobiography.
Yes, the whole range of movies that he's been responsible for are quite inspiring in so many ways. Speaking of inspiration, Anna, questions from yourself from your Romanian perspective.
I was wondering, you have an incredible diction, and I know earlier you were talking about how long ago your teacher was showing you how to breathe in between lines. So I was wondering, before recording an audiobook, do you do any diction exercises to make sure that your diction is where you want it to be?
You certainly, actors in general are doing this pretty well all the time, somewhere or other, in the bathroom or in their bedroom. Yes, all of that. Tiptoe Tommy, turn to Turk for tuppence. We have a load of stuff that we can do. Whether they're going to do it on the day of recording, that's a moot point. But what they do is loosen up their voices. They must. Because they're going to read for 6 hours, and it's a long time.
It is.
You have a break every, as Liza may have said, every so often, but you have to stick at it because the studio costs money. So they have to be in good shape and they have to be resilient and to be able to get around the words. Joan, I was talking in the this morning about Joan Collins. Well, I mean, I said, it's a bit unclear, Joan. She said, do you have any idea the way actors work on film nowadays? I said, yes, but this is an audio book. And
got mumbles then, really, can we? Got mumble away.
I get so angry at them on screen a lot of the time, actors. They don't want to move their mouth too much. But at the end, she wrote in her book, I really enjoyed speaking for you. And I thought, that's cute. That's very cute.
Good to see that Joan Collins can still enunciate clearly and precisely from the tip of the mouth and tongue and lips and so on.
Lips,
Chloe.
Tip of the tongue.
Chloe.
I'd love to know, when did you realise the moment where you thought, I know I'm good at this or I want to be an actor? When was that moment?
You know, I don't know whether I made... This is an odd question. I don't know whether I made that decision myself. My mother took me to... she took me to...
Blaming the parents, Garrick.
Huh?
Are you blaming the parents?
My father called me Garrick. Now, do you know Garrick was a very famous actor in the 18th century, you know.
Laurence Olivier wrote on a book when I asked him to read. I was working on a television with him, and he was sitting there on seven. And he wrote in the book, I said, please sign your book. It was called Confessions of an Actor, his autobiography. And he signed it to Garrick for Auld Lang Syne. Now, affectionately, Larry. I thought, this is... He said, there's a little joke here. And I said, well, what's the joke, sir? And he wouldn't tell me. But of course, he was really signing it to David Garrick, the famous actor of the 18th century. He thought he was the successor to David Garrick. So my father called me Garrick, but not because they wanted me in the theater, but he liked the name. But when I realized I was called Garrick, I must have connected something or other, because very early on I started, my mother took me to a class and she said, you're going to speak better maybe. And I started on radio, like I said. So I guess then I realized I liked it and that people responded to me occasionally. And then that just developed, and I've never stopped since then, really. I've never stopped, actually, quote, being an actor. But the voice work has been another part of it.
And indeed, radio is something we're all much beloved, basically. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting, so very important. Merrick?
Yes, sir.
Merritt.
I'd love to know, how would you describe being on the set of Star Wars?
How would I describe?
Being on the set of Star Wars and working on it.
Well, I would... Yeah, I could say exhilarating, but it was hot and it was dusty. It was all the things that the practical things that you'd feel down and on. Because the very first day, and the only day down in Tunisia, was early on the film. So how did I feel? I felt, of course, your first day on a film is a very nervous time because you haven't met all the other actors. You've met some of them, maybe, like Mark I had met. But you haven't really got to know the director. You're doing all these things very quickly, trying to incorporate them, get rid of them, and then be still so you can play the part. So my impression was just being on another film, getting adjusted, and trying to remember the lines. The George Lucas lines were kind of interesting, let's we say, poetic.
He wasn't the best writer at times. I mean, even he admits that sometimes his lyricism left a bit to be desired.
Yes, but there's one that particularly that I, you know, finally, when I got to know George a little bit better, I said, you can't say that. Come on, you can't, really. And Mark said, yeah, let's cut it. And he said, okay, cut it. And I realized later, it's a line I often sign on photographs. We're a couple of shooting stars that will never look back. And I think, you know what? That's a nice line. Why did we cut it? So my first impression was like being on a first day in any film. Later on, I got to love the cast and crew, but particularly the Mark and the other people around me. But that is a slow process. So you work into that, you know. And in the end, of course, it's been a gift that was handed to us way back in 1976.
And continues to keep on giving, and probably reckon it will resonate for the centuries to come. We just need to sort out some cryogenics so we can actually still be talking about it in centuries to come. Garrick, it's been terrific talking to yourself today. I might have had a slight mini challenge with respect to the whole system about Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, which I think is underrated, but there was also Logan's Run and other great movies around at the time, but Star Wars certainly set the scene, and it's been a privilege to connect with your good self.
And a privilege to talk to you, and I'm very impressed with your questions, all three of you.
We go for the elite of the elite, basically, the creme de la creme, as Miss Brody would have said.
Yeah, absolutely, as Brody.
Which I recorded with Miriam Margolyes.
Exactly. Mike Quinn, Nine Nub. Anyway, Star Wars, The Dark Crystal, The Muppets. It is time to start the music. It's time to light the lights. It's time to meet Mike Quinn on the radio show tonight. How are you, sir?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. So, yes, you're absolutely right. I'm a puppeteer, an actor, and a creature performer. And I'm still doing it after 43 years.
Exactly, and that shows the ability and skill you've got there. The late Jim Henson, of course, much beloved. One of the people who actually gave you your initial leg up and employment, really.
He did, yes. I was a big fan of his Muppets and The Muppet Show. It was still being made while I was at school in Elstree, in North London there. So I used to visit, and Jim got to know me, and he was an amazing man. He was that kind of guy that he just knew. He somehow had this ability to see what other people could do, and he gave me my first job. Yeah,
I think Jim Henson, Gene Roddenberry, Gerry Anderson, and probably George Lucas.
Yeah,
collectively responsible for so much joy and entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely would put Jim up there with George Lucas and Walt Disney. Honestly, yeah.
Okay, let's turn to the team. Chloe, any questions or thoughts you'd like to put, including, of course, when are you going to do a version of Rainbow Connection?
I know. Well, this is it. I just wondered about puppetry-wise. When did it sort of start for you? When did you think, oh, this is what I want to do?
It's a bit creepy. For me, puppetry started when I was, I think, maybe two or three, and I wanted my teddy bear to talk back to me, and he wouldn't, so I had to manipulate him as though he was alive so that he would talk back to me. So that's my earliest memory. Well, also, Punch and Judy, right? Yeah. You know, here we are at Scarborough. Punch and Judy on the beach. I remember that when I was a kid. So it's always been there.
Completely incorrect these days, of course. And doing that to the baby would be frowned upon by the highest courts in the land.
Except it's not real. It's made of woods. It's okay.
Oh, Mike, let's not go there. Merrin.
I'd like to know if you've watched the new Star Wars films, and if so, what's your opinion on them? Because there can be differing opinions with the new ones.
It could be controversial, yeah, depending.
It's a great question, though. It's different things for different people. I was in the last trilogy, so I have to like them. No, I don't have to like them. But actually, I enjoy them just for what they are. It's hard for me to be objective, because when I think about the last trilogy, I remember just being on set and having a good time with my mates and working with the actors and trying to solve a scene and make it work. So I just think of that, you know, and it makes me happy. So, but I enjoy them as a fan as well. I've always been a fan. So I like Paul to different degrees. And I'm just glad we're all still working and doing this stuff, you know. So, yeah, good question, though.
I was wondering, as you were saying earlier, you're working quite a lot, and it must get stressful at times. And I was wondering, how do you still enjoy acting and doing everything, even when it becomes stressful?
Oh, yeah. Well, I enjoy it, I think, even more now, because I understand more about how much I don't know. And so, you know, when you're young, you just think, oh, all I have to do is this, and it's fine. But the more you know, the less you know, right, as an actor. So I love the challenge of seeing what else I can get out of something, how much better can I perform this character, or how much more thought can I get this to character to read visually, or how can I improve the acting? But this, it can be stressful, you know, but that really focuses the mind as well when there's a big crew that's costing $10,000 a minute or something, you know, and you've got to get it right in ideally one take. So it can be stressful, but it's wonderful. I mean, how many people get that opportunity? So I don't take it for granted.
When you take a break, suddenly there's a bunch of radio students and radio souls actually land on you to actually ask for media interviews. I just don't know how you cope, honestly.
Well, it proves that people care, you know. And when we make this stuff, we don't ever get any feedback on anything. So when I come to places like this, it's a way to find out what people really think about it. And it does actually make a difference, you know.
You mentioned Rainbow Connection in your talk, and that is one of the most heartrending Muppet tunes I've ever encountered. Probably second only to Halfway Up the Stairs, but that's probably... Or Being Green, another classic.
Right.
But in terms of that, you can tell where my headset's coming out here, and I appreciate you rightly said, I can't choose my favourite Muppet, but do you have any views on Sam the American Eagle?
Disgusting. Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I got chills, literally, got chills. Any final questions, Chloe?
Yes. I'd just love to know, like, with puppetry, what was it... I don't know, do you get a feeling from it when you're doing it? What's your kind of process with it? And how does it make you feel?
Yeah, I think takes me out of myself and into other places that I can't be as me. It gives you permission to be anything you want to be, in
like
a way.
Self-expression.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's great therapy, for one thing, right? You know, and I can be young, I can be old, I can be male, I can be female, I can be alien, I can be an animal. You know, you can be mean, you can be kind, be anything you want with a puppet character. So it gives you permission to be a kid again, actually, and play. It's a wonderful thing. Everybody should be a puppeteer, just saying.
And Mike, what is the rest of 2024 have in store for your good self, or is it a case of contact my agent?
Oh, good night. Well, it changes like so quickly. So right now I'm actually glad to. It was a busy year last year. We were doing a lot of things. So I'm trying to do a lot of shows like this year while I can, because I think things are going to get crazy again. So it's quite nice to actually be home for a while and to have cook, and you know.
Have you had a chance to wander across the seafront here at Scarborough?
We did last night. Yesterday afternoon we got in and had a good long walk across the sand and got blown away and had the best fish and chips ever, and even had a 99 with a flake in it. Went to bed totally happy.
Wow,
bliss,
yeah,
bliss.
Yeah. Well, I believe from Steve Dickinson, the original plan for the programme was, and citing it here, was the suggestion that here the Spa Hotel is a bit like an alien spaceship which crash landed several years ago and is looking out there. That's the kind of impression they try to get.
I think, yeah, that's totally spot on, isn't it? Otherwise they wouldn't let me in. You know, I'm worried they're not going to let me out, actually.
Mike Quinn, actor, puppeteer, general all-round, good soul.
Oh.
Huge thanks.
That is very kind. Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I have to say, to start off this interview, Graham Harper sends his very best wishes. Graham, who we had hoped was going to be our surprise guest, co-producer and co-reporter today, couldn't actually make it. But when you realise that not just Fraser Hines, but Michael Tran as well, who I believe he might have directed you in New Statesman, Michael.
He did indeed. Lovely Graham Harper. Absolutely one of my favourite directors. And if there's any work going, possibly you could cast me in something.
Graham, you heard the message. We'll be in touch. You do a weekly slot with us or thereabouts. We will get that sorted. I'll hand over immediately, I think, to the team, because we were privileged to see your piece with both Fraser and Wendy earlier this morning. Did extremely well from that. I've been very impressed with the whole range of things. Your voice, obviously, as the second Doctor, is perfection, really.
Oh,
I think,
well,
you know,
thank
I think it's great.
As I said before, you know, I was in second. I didn't really want to do it. It was a decision which really was made for me by the fans coming back on that first thing. And people were saying, oh, it's so lovely. It's, you know, and that's what drew me into it, really.
Absolutely. Okay,
it's great. It's great fun.
Let's go to Chloe.
Yes. I'd love to know, what was it like on the set of Doctor Who? Could you describe it a bit? I'd love to know.
In which one? When I was 12?
Well, you tell me.
Yeah, sure. When I was 12, it was the best ever experience, because you imagine a 12-year-old, and they just found out their dad's Doctor Who, and then a year later, I think it was, we went on to the set of the Web of Fear with the, you know...
the Brigadier,
Yeti.
The Yeti,
yeah,
the
yeah.
Great Intelligence,
yes.
All of that.
Yeah, the only thing that surprised me about the Yeti was... Everybody
so
went,
furry.
Yeah, well, they're furry. But they were all going, and in fact, they couldn't move very fast. So I didn't really understand why they just didn't run away from them. But there you go.
Yeah. The slow burn, obviously.
Yeah, quite. And when I got onto the set of, doing Last Christmas, it was brilliant. It was like going back in time, really. I was a boy again. Mind you, I never grew up anyway, but...
Do any of us, really,
no,
if we're being
really.
Honest?
Certainly men, anyway, yeah.
Liz Truss, possibly.
I agree with that. Yeah.
No, let's not get political. Anna.
I was wondering, actually, if you could go back in time and change one thing about the character that you played, what would that be?
So you can actually be a Time Lord.
Wow, that's a tricky one. To change...
Only one thing. One thing and one thing only.
One thing only. You know, I'm not sure I really know.
It's almost a sliding doors moment, really. You go this way, you do that, you do the other way. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you a sliding door moment for me, and that was I was sort of struggling doing small bits of telly and stuff like that. And it's always that one show that just takes you up the rung a bit. And maybe that was that sliding moment that you were talking about. I don't think I'd change anything. I think I've had, I mean, what a great life, pretending to be someone else and earning a living. It's fantastic. Really good fun.
Yeah. That's hilarious, honestly. You've got such a sense of humour that people will love. So.
Yeah.
And that's spoken from a lass from Grimsby who's going to be on stage herself in a few weeks from now.
Check out the fish and chips, just saying.
It's fish and chips. I come from Southwold, where the fish and chips are pretty good too.
Well, that's it. There's competition now.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. Although Harry Ramsden, you remember up in Leeds?
And Middlesbrough, actually. There's a Harry Ramsden.
They've gone,
yes,
yeah.
They've franchised.
Yeah, well, I knew it when it was like a little fish and chip shop in 1840.
Bless. Maren.
How do you feel about the new Doctor Who and how it has adapted over the years?
It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, because what happens, I think, is when, you know, the character is announced, everybody goes, oh dear, I wonder how they're going to do that. And in fact, what happens is they take the essence of the previous Doctors, they mix it together in a bowl, don't they, in their minds, and then they put their own little sort of twist on it. And I think that's the success of it, really. You know, there's been a lot of talk about, I don't like that one, you know, I love that one. But in the end, they're all brilliant actors. And it's a bit like Marmite, isn't it, when you look at a doctor? It's like you either love it or you hate it, really. And
I was going to say, those of us who are slightly more chronologically gifted will say, from my perspective at least, your father was by far the quintessential doctor. But I'm just saying.
I have to agree with you. But I'm biased.
It's true. And a reminder, of course, people can still buy your biography of Patrick Troughton. Yeah. It's still available online. Indeed, yeah. Well worth accessing. Yeah. Plus, of course, we see Smile on Your Face, which is, of course, a photographic journey through time.
Yeah, it's a whole career, basically. We found a big box of stuff in his old attic that we didn't know about, and, you know... we thought we'd publish it because it's so lovely, beautiful pictures.
And of course, Big Finish continues ever onwards. Any further plans with respect to that? Or was it a case of I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you because I know what Jason Hagel is like.
Hush, but yes.
Well, we'll put a word in with respect to Graham Harper when he gets his movie going in Romania. Please. We'll make sure you get in there. So
remind him that I'm still waiting for the part in the Charlie Chaplin movie he was doing.
Right.
Yeah, which he said. Yeah.
We'll have a word with both Graham and Bernadette. If we don't get in through Graham, we'll get through his wife. It'd be good. It'd be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
They say all things must come to a close, and that's the case with respect to our coverage of a few hours here at Sci-Fi Scarborough 2024. But before we speak to Steve Dickinson, of course, who will be joining us outside, it's time to actually ask the team what they've made of their first ever science fiction convention. Let's start off with Chloe Rose. Yeah.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. There's so much to see, so many different stalls, and especially just popping into the theatre to hear about, you know, the stories of the actors and what their lives were like on set with Star Wars. And it was just incredible. Honestly, I've loved it. I really enjoyed today.
As a professional yourself, is this something which you feel actually does show the range of material that you've actually got within the industry?
Definitely. It just makes you think about the fact that, you know, there's not just theatre, there's not just film, audio now, you know, voice work. I know they do lots of radio plays. There is a lot more opportunities, I think, overall now than there was. But as Liza, it's Liza, isn't it, a lovely lady earlier, she was talking about that, how it is much harder now to get acting roles and things. So you've just got to keep going, no matter what you want to do, persist. You'll get somewhere down the line. That's what I want.
28 hours or so ago, I received an email from Marin Hobson, who said, I can come if I'm still allowed to actually come. He said, yeah, of course. Has it been worth the trauma of the journey down here? How have you found this whole experience, Marin Hobson?
Oh, it's been amazing, thank you, Alex. Yeah, seeing all the people dressed up and talking to the actors in Doctor Who and Star Wars was amazing. Like, I never thought I'd get this opportunity, but to do this is fantastic.
And has it prepped you for your upcoming cosplay event that you've got as well? Have you got some ideas here? Because obviously we're surrounded by cosplayers in so many ways.
Well, I hope so. I mean, when I go, I mean, I know now it's going to be an inclusive kind of safe space to be whoever you want to be, and it's going to be quite fun because I've never done it before.
Anna Koshkinel, again, your first experience of a cosplay. Just think, if you hadn't signed up for Cultural Connections, never have happened. Anyway, any thoughts or comments from your own point of view on the day itself? And any favourite interviewees or high stars you'd like to make? We won't call them out, but we had two folk who actually refused an interview. I think it was their loss, but never mind.
most definitely it was their loss. Well, it's been absolutely fascinating. I didn't expect it to be this way, to see a bit of everything. We've seen cosplay, we've seen people getting painted, we've seen kings, queens, pirates, everything. I loved interviewing Garrick. He's amazing, and as I said earlier, his diction is incredible. And he had some really good advice for us. I loved going to the, I don't remember the name of the cat, but we saw that cat, Atticus. Yeah, that was his name. Lovely, lovely. I wish I could take him home. All in all, this day's been wonderful, and I'm glad I signed up for Cultural Connections, and I'm glad I'm here.
Okay, Chloe, we have one of your biggest fans here. Self-confessed Chloe Rose fan. Isn't that right, Steve Dickinson?
Absolutely love her music. It's brilliant. I've been listening to it. I've been going through her Instagram listening to it all. So, yeah, it's fabulous.
Oh, my gosh. You actually make my day. Honestly, I feel so privileged, so lucky to be here. All the stuff you've put on, the events today, the chance to talk as, like, a member of public to the actors and... There's so much cosplay. Honestly, we've just loved it. It's been a pleasure. So what's your favourite aspect of doing this?
It's hard to put a finger on it. It's something to do with the just what it does for the town. You know, putting Scarborough on the map as a major like event destination, and this venue, you know, being used as a major event destination. And just the vibe. You can feel the vibe around the place. Everyone's having a great time. Everyone's laughing and buzzing. No one's not enjoying themselves, you know, and I love to see that. That's why we do it, you know, because it's just fun. It's exhausting, but it's fun.
Anna.
With 5 coffees and a Red Bull on board, and now you change clothes. Yeah, same, I understand you. How are you feeling? How was today up until now? What are you going to do next? And thank you.
Oh, feeling really good, actually. Yeah, I mean, I've seen all the rest of the organisers and everyone's in a really good mood, which is a really good sign. Just seeing everyone walking around smiling and laughing. We're getting sort of mid-afternoon now, so the first day is starting to wind down a bit, even though it's still really busy and people are still coming in, which is always the case. It's fabulous. The Geek Pub quiz will be on later on, and then there's the after-show party at the Crescent Bar, where the guests are staying upstairs, and it's a dance event, so I'm not sure if that's going to interfere with their sleep, and I'm really hoping I don't get phone
I know
calls.
Fraser from of old. He'll be getting you down in Boogie. He might be an octogenarian, but I'm sure there's still life in the old kilt yet.
I think he'll be fine, because they get to sit at their tables all day, and even if they were maybe a little bit hungover, that would be fine. They'd come down in your pyjamas to the party and join in, guys, you know, so I'm going to go have a word with them a bit and just make sure they're going to be okay with that. And,
even Michael Trout, he'll be far enough the New Statesman and being directed by Graham Harper, which was our line there, you know, he'll be up for it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Piers Fletcher Dervish, wasn't it, he played his character. I used to love that show, because obviously a huge Rick Mail fan, and if you remember the film Dancing Queen, he did sat there on the Suncourt stage.
Quite literally, we are sort of, we can see the time sort of zooming back to that whole side of things.
This is the place to come for time and time travel. So it does, obviously, this is like 10th year as well, so this is crazy.
I was sharing with Mike, of course, earlier about what you shared with me, I think, the first or second year of Sci-Fi Scarborough. In fact, we covered it for the second year and followed on from there, that this was seen as like a spaceship which had crashed on the seashore. Is that still a motif you look for?
Yeah, when you see the spar from above, it just looks like a spaceship that's crashed into the South Bay, and it's just been left there, and they've built a venue inside it, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's just such a cool venue, and there's just so many great areas to fill with cool stuff, and that's what we do.
Maren.
As Chloe said, it's been great and we've absolutely loved it. So which is the busiest day, today or tomorrow, or do you think it's about the same?
It's always Saturday, it's always the busiest day. Sunday's always a little bit quieter, a little bit more relaxed, because obviously everything's set up from the day before, so there's none of that mayhem in the morning that we had this morning. Yeah, and it can be a little bit stressful trying to find places for everyone, you know, and get everyone in situ. But I still think tomorrow could be one of the best Sundays we've ever had, just on ticket sales alone, and people still asking that question, can we pay on the door, can we pay on the door? Yes, you can, of course you can, you know. As you see, you know, it's like it's busy, but it's not too busy where it's congested and uncomfortable, and that is the main thing. That's I'm more bothered about that than making money. You know, it's that I just want people to have a good time.
And that really is a significant point, because later on this year, I think in July, Ryan Jones and myself will be making our way to Blackpool for Norbrett Castle, primarily to support Armin Shimmerman, because he's a midweek driver, so we'll get in touch with Armin, etc. But there's a part of me, sometimes those larger conventions, they don't have this kind of family feel, they don't have the kind of sense of being able to relatively easy communicate and connect with people, because you've got too many people saying, no, we've got to charge, we've got to do this, we've got your levels. I mean, I've got to be honest, and I've said this with Armin, £2,500 tickets just to actually have a sort of that's not really what I would say is necessarily the best thing forward.
No,
I haven't purchased them, by the way.
No, and I wouldn't either. I mean, we tend to stray away from that kind of thing. We don't even do early bird tickets, where we charge people more to get in earlier so they can get the best pick of the traders' stock. You know, we don't do any of that. The ticket price actually hasn't gone up in nearly 10 years. We had a slight increase after year one or two, and then, but it's not gone up, and it won't go up. We don't have to, we don't want to, you know. And it's fine as long as the event breaks even and maybe makes a bit of money for us to start next year, you know, and try and find some guests, some different guests, you know. Then yeah.
Well, as Graham is very keen to do this, he's happy to do that. There are other folks. Annette Andre would also be very keen to do the whole thing for Randall and Hopkirk. So if we can help at all, Steve, we've got Midweek Drive Etzerette Chloe, I'm sure, could do a performance.
That'd be amazing. Honestly, I'd be loving it with the Daleks up on the stage.
The great fun, the Daleks. Yeah, they're just so engaging and they're so funny. Yeah. And it's like, I understand that when they get inside the Dalek, they can be who they want, yeah, you know, and be as rude and obnoxious as they want to a certain degree. And they're all different characters. All the Daleks are, you know, they all play different characters. But I think Dalek 2-0 is probably the worst of the bunch. You know, he's an absolute menace, but we absolutely love him. You know, he's fantastic.
And let's just talk briefly about your musical career, which continues to go from strength to strength, Danse Macabre. How's that going?
The old, yeah, the Danse Society. Yeah.
Danse Society, yes.
Yeah, Danse Macabre was Duran Duran's last album, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Halloween. I'm a huge Duran Duran fan, obviously. It's his synth player. Weirdly, I've just bumped into our lead singer and guitarist, and they're here with the videographer, and we're going to shoot some shots for the next video, because we've got everything here. And I had the idea a couple of weeks ago. Simon went, why don't we get Charlie, who's our videographer, to mix our videos, to come down and we'll do some shots. And he went, that's genius, can we do it? I went, gosh, can. It'll be great. You know, we've got a lot of the sets, and we've got the Daleks, we've got the droids, we've got a protocol droid wandering around. Have you seen that? Sarah in the silver 3PO suit. Amazing, just an incredible, you know, incredible thing to do, you know, to have here. So yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to shoot some establishing shots for the next video later. We shot a video a few weeks ago of Oliver's Mount, and he had me sprinting, running around, because it's all about the end of the world, the song, and about the band. We start off separately, and then we all meet up at Oliver's Mount, and then we see meteorites crashing down, and then a tidal wave, and then everyone dies.
Just an average day in the life of the University of Lincoln, really.
Yeah. East Coast of England special. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Steve, as ever, an absolute delight. I mean, Chloe, would you like to have the final word before we take some photographs of yourself and Steve, your biggest fan, official?
Oh, I wish. I just wanted to say thanks so much. It's been a pleasure. And I was saying to Alex earlier, there's such a community here, and I feel like everybody feels comfortable without judgment to be who they want to be, to dress how they want to dress. And I think that's really important as well. So
it's great.
I actually couldn't have put that better myself. And I wish I'd have said that.
I'm sure she'll let you use it as a quote for next year's programme.
I'm going to steal that, thanks, but I will give you credit for it. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
This is Siren Radio. What a scenario without Siren Radio. Turn up everyone, save a siren sound. Participate, keep on keeping. say Siren Radio.